The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, welcome back to the Jet Press Podcast. My name is Justin Freed, and I'm joined, as always, by my good friend, Mike Luciano. Mike, how you doing today, buddy? What's going on?
Not my best. Mostly just because I thought that there was this lesion on my football team that was finally going to be, what do they call it, a biopsy when they cut something off you and look at it and throw it? That's what it is, a biopsy?
Probably.
I thought that was finally going to happen as we finally get rid of this guy who would be named. We tried not to say his name very much in the offseason because we thought finally we're done with him. We may not be done with him, but no matter what happens with that player who we'll get into, we'll also talk a lot of draft stuff because free agency isn't over necessarily, but a lot of the big names have already signed. So it seems like the movement's kind of slowed down. So we'll look at the draft. We'll look at maybe some mid-round quarterbacks to target because that seems to be a thing a lot of people have the Jets doing is taking a mid-round quarterback. And we'll get into what's left for free agency because there's still some needs on this Jets team. No team is perfect. And maybe they'll fill them in free agency. Maybe they'll fill them in the draft. Who knows? But we'll tell you what they got to do. So before all that, though, you can find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We're on all the sites, YouTube, at the Jet Press. If you want to support the show, like liking the stream really does help, and leaving a good review on Apple Podcasts, that really helps just for the algorithm to boost us up, not to stroke our massive ego. That is just purely to help us in the algorithm. So if that's how you want to show your support, that's how you do it, and we are very grateful for however you do choose to show that support. So now that we got the housekeeping out of the way, we can get into talking ball with a name that we thought this would be the end of him, and wishful thinking because Zach Wilson might not be gone yet. Because I thought Zach Wilson would be gone, not even necessarily after I didn't let the defense down in New England in that loss. Like, that seemed like that was the de facto end of Zach Wilson. But when he played on Thursday night against the Jaguars and that pouring rain and then Chris Trevor came in, I'm like, that feels like the end. That feels dead. Like he's dead and buried. And it is currently March 27th, 2024, and he's still on the team and he might be back next year.
No.
Because
no,
Woody Johnson.
Don't even put that out there, Mike. He will not.
Well, that's just what Woody Johnson is saying because the Jets have been trying and failing to trade Zach Wilson this offseason. An offseason that's had a lot of backup quarterback movement where obviously the Jets signing Tyrod Taylor to take over from Wilson as the backup. And a lot of young trades too. A lot of guys getting traded. Justin Fields going to the Steelers for a steal of a deal, if you'll excuse the pun, because there was just, they had to go pay him later. But Fields is a lot better than what he was worth. Desmond Ridder going to the Cardinals. Sam Howell going to the Seahawks. All of that took away landing spots for Wilson. Sam Darnold even going to Minnesota. There's a lot of backup quarterbacks on the move. So the landing spots are not particularly fruitful. And I think this is just a case of Joe Douglas maybe screwing himself a bit. I know he's got this reputation as, you know, Trader Joe, and he makes all these great deals. And I mean, it's warranted. I mean, look at the Jamal Adams thing. Look at the Morgan Moses deal. Like, he's good at that, but he had a price in his head of what Zach Wilson is worth and what he thought a number two pick would be worth. Because again, look at what Desmond Ridder did, what he got, and look at what Sam Howell got. Key point of difference, both those two guys, as bad as they were last year, were better than Zach Wilson. And there's at least they showed something there. however minuscule it may have been, you could at least look at Sam Howell and be like, I could see how in an ideal situation he's got the arm talent to succeed. Or you look at Desmond Ridder where you're like, you know, if he comes in for like 5-6 games as a backup, he's a very good athlete. Like he can get the job done as a backup. But you could see something there. With Wilson, yeah, he's got an arm. Everybody's got an arm. It's the NFL. So because of that, nobody's really biting on it. And now Douglas is kind of painting himself into a corner because I don't think he wants to just eat his money. And no team is going to trade for him as a backup, if that makes any sense, because no team's going to trade for Zach Wilson thinking he's going to be our number two quarterback. The only way they're going to even potentially offload him is maybe some team will take him on as QB3 and then try hope against hope that he finally figures it out. He's not going to, but they're at least going to hope that. Douglas, if he really thought, I'm going to say Douglas because they couldn't decide on the first name. If Doe Douglas decided that he's like, oh, you know what? Zach Wilson, he's going to have a very rich market. Teams are going to be clamoring over the arm talent. Now you have egg on your face. Nobody wants him. Excuse yourself. It's musical chairs, and he's the only one who didn't get a chair.
I know it's I'll go on record saying this. It is March 27, 2024. I would be absolutely stunned and floored, and I think there is a 0% chance that it happens, that Zach Wilson is on the Jets roster come week one of 2024. I will go on record saying that. I don't care what Woody Johnson just said this week. Zach Wilson is not going to be on the Jets roster in 2024. Will he be on the Jets after the draft? Yeah, that's certainly very possible. I'm not confident that they trade him before the draft, but I would be stunned, like floored. It'd be one of the most stunning things the Jets have done in years, and that is saying a lot. If Zach Wilson was on the Jets roster week one, 2024, I'm not sure he's going to get traded before the draft. And I also don't know if this is a situation where I'm going to blame Joe Douglas. Obviously you could blame Joe Douglas. You could blame Doe Douglas for making the draft.
Pick in the first saying place. That we got to train ourselves out of that. I don't know what kind of beast I'm on this year.
It kind of sounds right though. I don't know. But I don't think it's a situation
evil twin with a handlebar mustache.
Or maybe he has no beard, but he has like a full head of hair.
He's got like a 90s flat top.
Yeah, oh my God. Jesus Christ. Sure, that's Doe Douglas. But no, I don't think you could blame Joe or Doe, so dumb, for not being able to trade Zach Wilson at this point because he has no trade value. He has absolutely no trade value at this point.
The thought then is you don't think some teams thought, hey, we'll flip you a conditional seventh or something like that, and Joe said, no, I want something more from him. I feel like that conversation's happened.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
There's been conflicting information out there about what is going on with the Zach Wilson trade talks. There was a report from Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, I think it was last week, this weekend, whenever it was, that his report said that the Jets have received offers for Zach Wilson, but they are holding out, waiting for something better. This wasn't a report, but he speculated. He said that some people around the league believe that Woody Johnson is the one that's intervening. Other reports, including, I believe, a report that went up from Zach Rosenblatt of The Athletic today, said that that's not true. The Jets have not received any offers for Zach Wilson and that there's no indication at all that, you know, Woody Johnson has any say in any of this. I wouldn't be stunned if the Woody thing is partially true in the sense that I think Woody would be pressuring the Jets and pressuring Joe Douglas to try and get something for him. I don't think Woody Johnson would like the optics of the Jets simply outright releasing Zach Wilson. But I don't think, and this is my opinion on what's going on based on the reports that I've seen, I don't think the Jets have received a formal offer for Zach Wilson. I think there's been discussions. I think there's been preliminary talks about, hey, you know, let's check in on what your asking price might be. I don't think the Jets have received anything, any kind of offer for Zach Wilson, because logically, this is a situation where the Jets do not want to be paying his full salary. That is over $11 million on the cap next year. If they release him, they do not want to be doing that. If they trade him, they save around $6 million, $5 million, whatever it is, because it's $5.5 million guaranteed money that goes to the team that's trading for him, unless the Jets eat some of that money, which I think that's the most likely scenario. I think the Jets either eat some of his contract, more than they would have to eat already, or they include a draft pick to trade him. I think that's what it's going to come down to, because I don't think you're getting anything for him. The other thing that I can very well see happening is I at this point, I think the most likely scenario is the Jets wait till after the draft to trade him. And that sucks. I think you'd want to get rid of him, like you said, this lesion. I'm not going to use that word. I feel like that's mean, but you want to get rid of this.
What else is mean is subjecting my eyes to that for 3 years. That's not considerate either, Zach.
You're right. And I'll blame, you know, I guess you could blame Zach for that, but I don't want to use that word, but I don't think it's fair for either side to hold on to him longer than you should. But ultimately, it might just make the most sense to wait until after the draft, because at this point, we're almost in April now. I don't think there's many teams that are super active looking for quarterbacks. Like you said, a lot of those spots have been filled. Kenny Pickett, Mac Jones, Justin Fields, Desmond Ridder. There's so many guys who've been traded. Justin Fields, I think I said him twice now, but so many different young quarterbacks have been traded to other teams. And like you said, Mike, Zach Wilson is not going to be a QB2 next year. He's just not going to be. Just like I'd be stunned and absolutely floored if Zach Wilson was on the Jets roster in come week one, I'd also be the same level of stunned if he was any team's QB2. The most likely scenario for Zach Wilson is either he's released or he's traded to a team and he fights for a third quarterback spot. And maybe he makes the team. Maybe he sticks around in the practice squad. That's what we're talking about with Zach Wilson. There's no teams giving him a shot as QB2. The only team I think that I could possibly imagine doing that is the Chiefs, because they still don't really have a backup quarterback. I think they might end up bringing back Blaine Gabbert eventually, but as of right now, they don't have one. There's the BYU connection with Andy Reid, which we've talked about. It's the only spot that still makes some sort of sense for Zach to compete for a backup quarterback job, but I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think the Chiefs are going to go into next year with Zach Wilson as Patrick Mahomes' primary backup. I think that would be a gross mismanagement on the part of
a gulf in talent between those right. two.
It would be terrible. So as we sit here right now, March 27th, I think my prediction as for what will happen to Zach Wilson is the Jets will trade him after the draft, because the other advantage of trading him after the draft is you now get access to future picks. 2025 becomes your most recent draft, right? And that's still a year in the future. You can now also trade 2026 draft picks. And I think we could see a situation where maybe the max the Jets get is like a 2026 conditional seventh round pick. And if they get that, that's a win, because you don't have to give up draft capital to do that, right? Or maybe the Jets trade a 2026 seventh round pick to get rid of Wilson and his salary. Either way, you're opening up more opportunities. You're opening up, you know, there's more you can do if you wait until after the draft and the dust settles and teams are aware of what their quarterback situation is. That's, I think, the most likely scenario. But I don't believe Woody Johnson for 1 second when he says that if we don't trade him, we're keeping him. I don't believe that at all, especially given that Woody Johnson 6 weeks ago said, hey, we didn't even have a backup quarterback last year. And then 6 weeks later, he's like, oh, yeah, but Zach Wilson, he's a valuable asset. We're not going to just give him away. Somebody take away any microphone, any live mic from Woody Johnson, because for somebody who has spent his entire life speaking in front of cameras and a microphone, he still doesn't know how to not put his foot in his mouth. So, but I don't believe Woody Johnson. I don't believe Woody Johnson when he says they're not going to keep him or that they're going to keep him. Zach Wilson will not be on the Jets roster in 2024.
Woody's okay at like getting at like hyping fans up. Like, we got this good acquisition, like we're going for it. Like, he's good at that. He's a terrible liar.
That's not hard to do that.
And I like Robert Sala too, but from Sala to Douglas to Johnson, this organization is horrible at lying.
I think Douglas usually does a pretty good job of it. Sala wears his heart on his sleeve. We know that. I think Douglas does a pretty good job.
That I do like your idea though of how, do you remember when Brock Osweiler got traded to the Browns?
And it was like a second round pick.
Pick the Texans gave up, just get him away. Like, yes, that might have to happen.
I'm also just glad
because finally I won't have to look at the Zach Wilson truthers. I'm just sick of them. Like, I obviously, like, everybody can consume information differently on Twitter because it's, you know, curated to you. But I mean, there are times where you look at Trevor Lawrence, who got picked before him, 10 times better minimum than Zach Wilson. And I see more like Trevor Lawrence sucks than Zach Wilson sucks sometimes.
The Trevor Lawrence narrative is crazy right now.
It's not healthy. It's because I've seen people do this where, like, oh, Mac Jones is better because the cumulative stats, because they leave in the rookie
and
year.
Trevor Lawrence? Meyer.
I've seen it, believe me.
There are still so many Jets fans who think Zach Wilson is better than Mac Jones.
I've seen players that are bad.
Yeah.
And they get hate. I've even seen players that are bad. And you know what? Maybe it's not another fault. Like, the Jets didn't fail Zach Wilson necessarily. They failed Darnold. Like, Darnold's a legitimate case of they didn't just give him a good environment and he struggled. He's not good, but that's a legitimate argument for they failed him. But Zach Wilson is, like, so bad, it's like come back around. And now people are like, well, he's got to be good somewhere because he can't be this bad. Like, okay, maybe he just sucks that much. And it's permeated Instagram and then Twitter. Like, it's frightening. It doesn't make any sense. It's weird. It's not even Jets fans or BYU fans who are doing this now. Like, I used to think that's just what it was, is because Jets fans are so desperate for a quarterback, they want him to be good. So, all right, that was number one. Then that's out of there. All right, maybe it's just BYU fans. Okay, it's not just BYU fans, because it's other teams. We're like, oh, maybe Zach, wrong. I don't get it. There's nothing he's shown you. He's played, well, how many good games he had in his career? Three? Out of like 30 something, 20 something?
Texans, Chiefs, and then what, the rookie season against the Titans, maybe? I don't know.
That was James on Twitter. T Law had a Bryce Hall regression. No, he didn't.
Here's the thing, though. Bryce Hall is still not bad. Like, this, I hate. I'm going to defend both Bryce Hall and Trevor Lawrence here. Bryce Hall was good last year. Bryce Hall could compete for a starting job. Like, he's not a bad cornerback by any means. And on Trevor Lawrence, name me 12 quarterbacks that are better than Trevor Lawrence. You can't. There aren't. There are not 12 quarterbacks in the NFL that are better than Trevor Lawrence.
Well, right, he's now, not generational. That's your problem if you keep calling him that. He's still good.
If you draft any quarterback at any point in the draft and they end up like Trevor Lawrence, you won. You succeeded. Is he a Hall of Famer right now? No. He could. He could eventually get on that trajectory. He's still very young. He's entering, what, his fourth year in the NFL? Yeah. And he's a top 12 quarterback?
With Trent Baalke and Urban Meyer, who brought him into the league?
Just
fans like to complain about Joe Douglas. Other teams have Trent Baalke. Like, think about that.
So, sign me up for Trevor Lawrence. If the Jets were to ever draft a Trevor Lawrence type of prospect, every single Jets fan would be
be the king of the city.
Right. He's
would he
good.
Not be?
Yeah, he would be. Like, and that's the thing. It's expectations. That's what it comes down to. Trevor Lawrence, if you want to consider the insane expectations he had entering the NFL, sure, he hasn't lived up to them. He's not a top five quarterback in the NFL right now. He's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, whatever. He's not any of those guys. But he's still really good. Like, he's still a very good quarterback.
Better than Zach Wilson. You know what? If they traded him, they'd get more than a conditional seventh-round pick for him.
They would get many first-round picks. Many first-round picks.
What T-Law did you guys watch? The guy who was playing really well, that's who.
The same Trevor Lawrence that everybody should have watched.
Yeah, so moving on, though, because the Jets might need to go. They're not going to necessarily draft a Trevor Lawrence this year. They're not even going to draft a quarterback in the first three rounds. I think that's kind of gone out the window now that Tyrod Taylor's here. But taking a mid-round prospect, just to sit him on the practice squad and have him marinate for a little bit, and then maybe he's the long-term backup eventually because Taylor's going to leave, Aaron Rodgers is going to leave. Like, and I kind of don't necessarily hate the Ron Wolf or even the Patriots thinking of, like, just keep drafting quarterbacks every year, no matter how many you have, just because you never know. I mean, look at all the guys that the Patriots did, Kevin O'Connell, Ryan Mallett, rest in peace, Ryan Mallett, like all the guys that they just kept funneling in as QB3s because, you know, you never know when you're going to need another quarterback.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Looking at this class, it's a weird class because it's so top heavy. I can't remember one. I think maybe 2015 or 16. What was it, 15 when Winston and Mariota went 1-2?
Yeah, that was 15.
And then I don't think anybody else went until like the third round. That was Garrett Grayson, who never played. Like, outside of that, that's a throwback name out of Colorado State. But yep. There's the top guys, you know, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels. There's the fringe guys, you know, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix. Apparently J.J. McCarthy is going number two now for reasons that don't make any sense at all, but that's where he is talent-wise. And then there's really like a huge gap. And then there's like Spencer Rattler and then a bunch of day three guys. It's a really weird class. So I went and looked at some of those day three guys. And I'm trying to figure out, because Rattler, it seems like it's going to be a late day two guy. He's probably like a third round guy. So I'm looking at the day three guys. I'm like, all right, there's got to be a couple hidden gems here. A couple guys that if the Jets get them in their system, and I hate to use this word because this is what killed us with Zach, but learn behind Aaron Rodgers and learn behind the offensive guru that is Nathaniel Hackett, as silly as that sounds, because it's not true.
Hey, don't,
maybe
don't
eventually they could turn into something.
Don't forget Todd Downing. Don't forget Todd Downing.
Oh, of course. How could I possibly forget the immortal, my Benigno voice, the immortal Todd Downing? But I'm looking at these guys, and one guy kept coming up, and he seems to be the consensus QB8 favorite here, kind of a fourth round lock.
Consensus.
And that is Michael Pratt from Tulane, the Green Wave. Pratt is kind of a unique prospect because you really don't see a ton of guys, honestly, if you're a good quarterback, stick around for all 4 years. And he did at Tulane, won a bunch of games, beat USC in the Cotton Bowl, which that defense being what it is, I don't care. If you beat USC as Tulane, that's pretty impressive in any field. He beat Caleb Williams because Caleb played in that game. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at him, and he doesn't have like the greatest arm. Pretty average arm. He's got like a weird, not a Blake Bortles he wind up. I mean, that's obviously the most extreme ever is Blake Bortles, but it's kind of long and loopy, almost like Justin Fields, where he like brings it down around his hip and then out, almost like a baseball throw. It's like he's throwing from shortstop to get a guy at first base. And deep ball wise, he's not kind of what you want. Like, there's a lot of misses, a lot of inconsistencies with ball placement, but I'm looking at Tulane, which is it's not like a super wide open offense, but they let him chuck it around a bit. And he's really good on the move, really good at throwing from all kinds of different angles. Very Darnold-esque in that he probably gets better on the move than he does in the pocket. Like good Darnold out of USC, if that makes any sense. I like his mechanics. I like that he's a four-year guy, knows like a pro-style offense, very good at manipulating guys pre-snap. Like, he seems like a guy who's going to have a long career because he could pick up an offense pretty quickly. Now, the arm is average, and because guys can improve your arm strength a little bit in the league. If he could show a willingness to make those throws, those challenging throws where guys aren't wide open, and then accuracy on them, he'd be a perfect fourth round pick, and he could be, you know, a guy who gets called into action every now and again, has a very long career as like a 10-year backup, maybe a spot starter, like a Minshew-y kind of guy, because all the other guys around him have some severe flaws that take them into like the fifth, sixth, seventh round range. Pratt doesn't really have that. Like, if you want to create the most average quarterback prospect where he's pretty good at almost everything, Michael Pratt's a pretty good guy. And to get him in the fourth round, I don't think that'd be a horrible pick for the Jets.
No, I think you said it best when you said that Michael Pratt's could have a long NFL career. I completely agree. I think he is a really, really good backup quarterback prospect. That's how I would classify him. I don't think he has the traits or physical talent or size or anything like that to ever be a top 10 quarterback. I think at best you're hoping that his ceiling is maybe he can eventually develop into like a middling starter, maybe in like his ceiling. And that's fine. Like you're looking at fourth, fifth round quarterback prospects here. You're not going to, you know, in most cases, you're not finding a diamond in the rough gem quarterback. Even like a Brock Purdy is just an extreme anomaly when you can get a quarterback like that anywhere past really the first round or even maybe the second round. If you're once you're reaching that third, fourth round territory, it's a very low hit rate when it comes to quarterbacks. But Michael Pratt is someone I think will have a long career as a backup. He just fits that backup mold as a smart quarterback. Like you said, can pick up a system well, doesn't have the physical traits, but he really fits that backup mold. And I think that's fine if the Jets are looking for somebody like that. Who,
you know who he reminds me of upon a little bit closer thinking? Oh. If Jimmy G had a little bit better mobility.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
I feel like that's a good comparison. I feel like a lot of like a Garoppolo-y Shanahan-y guy in that drop back. If a guy's open, bang, I'll hit him kind of thing.
I think that's fair. I think that's a fine comparison. And if he becomes that, if that's his ceiling, cool. Jimmy G at his peak was a below average starter, I would say, at his peak. A below average to maybe average starter, right? And if you're saying Jimmy G with more mobility, then awesome. I don't think Michael Pratt is somebody that you're developing and expecting him to be the successor to Aaron Rodgers, but really most of the guys you're drafting at this stage aren't going to be. He's someone you're drafting and you're hoping can develop into a cheap and affordable young backup. That's valuable to have, because if you can get a young backup quarterback on a rookie contract, you're saving $6-7 million, whatever it's going to be. So I think that's valuable. I don't love really a lot of the quarterbacks in this middle range, which again, isn't surprising. That should not be a shock given the hit rate of these guys. One guy I'm looking at, and I know it has been connected to Jets a lot, they had a meeting with him, is Jordan Travis from Florida State. Travis is another guy who he lacks ideal size. He's not a very big guy. I think his arm is fine. I don't think it's anything special. It's fine. He's a good athlete. The issue with him is one, he's an older prospect. He turns 24, I believe, a few days after the draft, and he's coming off a major leg injury, which I don't know how the medicals are going to check out like that. Maybe it's a situation like a Hendon Hooker where he ends up sitting out a lot of his rookie season, but that's fine because the Jets don't.
Fine. I think the last news break I saw about him was that he's going to be okay for training camp, which is good. Okay. It wasn't like I think he broke his leg, is what it was. So I think if that. Yeah. Heal. It wasn't like an ACL tear or an Achilles thing. So
right.
Seems like something you not that this is obviously not easy to do at all, but yeah. It sounds like if you're a professional level athlete, you can recover in time to.
We have news, Mike. We have
news. Do we have news?
The Carolina Panthers have signed Jadeveon Clowney.
Oh, really?
The Carolina Panthers. Well, a week ago on this show, I said I predict the Jets will sign him. I was wrong. The Carolina Panthers, who the Jets beat out for Mike Williams. We're not going to be beaten out by the Jets multiple times. And the Carolina Panthers have signed Jadeveon Clowney, according to Ian Rappaport.
Brother. Oh, yeah, that sucks for the Ravens. What the hell are they going to do now?
Yeah, you're a Ravens guy. That really does suck. I didn't think it sounded like it was between the Jets and Panthers. So I'm not shocked that the Panthers signed him. It's unfortunate. I definitely would have loved the Jets to have signed Jadeveon Clowney. I think that, you know, they're still going to be active in the free agent edge rusher market. I honestly don't really know who's out there. I was really hoping they were going to sign Clowney, but that's something. All right. I know that the Panthers really wanted Mike Williams, so they just weren't going to be outbid by the Jets twice. We could talk more about that in a little bit, because we're going to talk about biggest needs that the Jets still have to fill in free agency right after this segment. But we'll talk about that in a moment. I was just talking about Jordan Travis. And yeah, I don't see the high-end traits with him. I think he has a little bit higher an upside than Pratt, just because he's probably a better athlete. I think he's – not that Pratt isn't good at creating outside the pocket, because he can, but I think Travis can do more with his legs, especially if the medicals check out. And I think that gives him some developmental upside. He is a little bit older and he is coming off that injury. And I don't think he has elite physical traits, but I think he's someone that can end up having a good career in the NFL. And his timeline makes sense for the Jets, because if he is, you know, if he does take some time to recover from that injury, the Jets don't need him to play at all in year one. He'll be QB3. And I think that's fine. I think it's someone they can consider a fourth, fifth round pick. Like the biggest strengths, I guess, that he has, he's very experienced. Of course, he's played, I believe, like 4 or 5 years in college. He started at Louisville before going to Florida State, had a really, really good senior season before his injury. High football IQ guy. Like, I think he's someone that you want in your quarterback room. I'm not sure he's ever going to be a long-term starter, but perfectly fine quarterback prospect to target in like fourth, fifth round. And I think that's somebody the Jets could keep their eye on.
The thing with Travis, too, is I think a lot of people expected like Lamar Jackson-y creation ability. He's not really that. Like, it's kind of weird. Like, he's almost more of a power runner guy, but he doesn't have that sort of sort of ability. Like, they ran him a lot, almost like a running back at Florida State. Like, the way they just used him on like QB power and stuff like that.
And that's how
I like the accuracy, and I like the mindset too. Like, it's not just like a dink and dunk guy. Like, he's trying to make plays out there, which, as we said before, I'd rather my quarterback try to make plays than just, you know, Derek Carr dink and dunk it all over the field. So I like that. I think he might be good on a team that uses the quarterback run a little bit more, since that's a lot of his appeal. I just don't think the Jets really do that. I don't think Hackett is smart enough to even create like a package of Jordan Travis.
But here's plays. The thing. If Nathaniel Hackett's still going to be the offensive coordinator by the time you would be hoping Jordan Travis is playing in a few years, I don't think so. You think when Rodgers is gone, the Hackett is still going to be here? I don't think so.
I mean, I never underestimate. Because if Rodgers does something really good and then he leaves, you don't think they're going to be like, oh, well, Hackett can stay. Because
Hackett can go – he can be demoted to an – office. They wanted their senior offensive assistant. That could be Nathaniel Hackett. Keep him on as a buddy-buddy thing. But no, I don't want him as the OC.
I mean, I don't either, but we got to make our peace with it. So Travis would be good, but traits-wise, he's more like a production guy over a traits guy. If you want a traits guy and purely a traits guy at this point in the draft, you're going to have to go look at Joe Milton from Tennessee. Well, he didn't really play particularly well. Well, Anthony Richardson didn't light the world on fire either. He went number four overall because of traits. And Milton – weird guy, back up at Michigan. He giant guy, 6'5", 240, legitimately too. Not like a fat guy either. That is muscle, 6'5", 240. Backed up at Michigan a bunch, goes to Tennessee. And if you look at the numbers, they look pretty good. 30 touchdowns, 5 picks. And then he also ran for 7 touchdowns. So you're like, wow, that's amazing. But it's the same thing when Hendon Hooker was coming out, why I wasn't as high on Hendon Hooker as everybody else was. There's certain offenses that are just like fake and not real, and Mickey Mouse offenses. Like, Jets fans can remember when Bryce Petty came out of Baylor. If anybody saw those Baylor teams, you're like, this is barely even football.
Yeah.
This is like 7-on-7. This is as close to like a 7-on-7 Canadian football as you could get. Like, he's not making reads. He's not even throwing to particular receivers. He's throwing to spots and then a guy will be there. Not real football. Ole Miss is kind of like that, but a little bit less or so. Tennessee is a crime against football humanity. It works. It works well at the college level, but it's a crime in terms of developing pro prospects. Because Milton is not asked to do anything post-snap, very little pre-snap. It's always like looking over at the sideline to figure out what the play is. They always snap the ball in 30 seconds, so there's not a ton of figuring out what the defense is actually doing. So going from that to even Hackett's kiddie Fisher-Price playbook is going from pre-algebra to high-level calculus. That's just what you have to do. And he's also got accuracy concerns. Like, I lost count how many times he would just airmail guys.
Yep.
And this is Tennessee. Everything was short. It was, you know, curls and slants and drags and screens, and then occasionally he'd go throw a bomb. But this is a pretty easy offense to be accurate in, and he wasn't. So why would you take him? Watch this dude throw the ball, man. You will see. I'm not even trying to exaggerate here. Day one, he comes into the league. In terms of just pure arm strength, like how far you can throw a ball, he might be top three.
Yeah.
Like, it's that level. He can throw a ball. I've seen him in a game throw it almost 70 yards in the air. Good velocity on lower throws, throws off balance, throws when he's getting hit. Like, the arm is absolutely real. And even though he didn't run a lot, like, big guy – You can't tell me he wouldn't be good running on some quarterback draws. I refuse to believe he's not a weapon in the run game. So if the Jets are operating purely on traits, they're going to look at Joe Milton's arm in a Hackenberg. Not like Hackenberg, because at least Milton at least had production in college and Hackenberg didn't. The Jets drafted him because he had a good Rivals recruiting page. Milton at least has an arm where you look at him and you go, whoa, this is insane.
Yeah, in a day two or day three quarterback class that I would say lacks upside, there's not a lot of guys who I'm looking at and I'm like, they can develop into like a genuinely really good quarterback. Joe Milton stands out like he's like a sore thumb. Like, he is clearly the traits guy, clearly the upside guy when you're looking at this day three quarterback class. He has, you know, all the tools, all the athleticism, anything that you could ever want. He's just completely unrefined. The big ops, the big red flag with him to me when it comes to, like, you know, because you can take a guy, you could take a chance on guys like that who have that upside. The big red flag to me is he's 24. He's has a ton of college experience and he really hasn't developed at this point. Now, that's not me saying that I wouldn't take a chance on Joe Milton, because why not just take a swing? I think he needs to go to the right situation to develop and be as part of be in a good situation with a good coaching staff and a good offense. I don't think the Jets are necessarily the best fit for him. But if you send him to like Kansas City or something like that, maybe he could develop into something. I don't know. I mean, not that they need, you know, him to develop into a starting quarterback in Kansas City, but maybe he develops into an asset for them. I don't know. But I love the upside with Joe Milton. I feel like he almost has like Baker Mayfield arm, where it's like dude's always throwing 1,000 miles per hour for no reason. It's like chill out.
But it's a stronger arm than Baker too, which is
more frightening. What I'm saying is like zero touch, like just always throwing it. Or like Josh Allen coming out of Wyoming, like dude has zero touch. He's just always throwing the same speed at all times, and that's fine. Like the dude's got an arm, he's got a cannon, but chill out.
I mean, I would do that too if I had that arm. I don't blame you, right. Joe.
I feel like he's just showing off. Like it'll be a little three-yard drag over the middle, and he's throwing it 80 miles per hour, and it's like you're trying to decapitate your receiver. Calm down, Joe.
Do you remember there was an old Powerade commercial with Michael Vick where he drinks Powerade? It's filmed in like almost like an old camcorder thing because it looks like real. And yeah. A guy he's just throwing a pro day, and a guy catches it, and he gets knocked back 10 yards whenever he catches it. And then the guy's like, go long. And he's in the Coliseum and he just throws the ball out of the Coliseum. That's Joe Milton.
Yeah, that checks out. Real quick, Sal asked, I miss you guys talking about clowning the Panthers. We mentioned it briefly. We're going to talk about it a little bit more in depth in a second. We're just going to quickly blaze through my last mid-round quarterback prospect that the Jets could target, but then we'll talk about Clowney in a moment. The last guy that I'm looking at is, again, it's not a great mid-round quarterback class. Not that there really ever is a great mid-round quarterback class, but somebody who I think has the arm talent, especially more than a guy like Michael Pratt or even Jordan Travis, is Carter Bradley from South Alabama. He is the son of Gus Bradley, the former Jaguars head coach, who also coached Robert Saleh in Jacksonville. So Saleh has ties to Gus Bradley. I believe they remain close friends to this day. So maybe this is a situation where nepotism comes into play and the Jets targeted Carter Bradley because, hey, Saleh knew him when he was a kid and he seems like a good guy and whatever. Bradley,
that's
another
how
very
good organizations run things, by the way.
That's how, I mean, that's the NFL. That's how the world runs, Mike.
Sports should not be the world. Sports isn't the world. You got to operate differently.
It is. Sports are a microcosm of the world. If you really
most jobs in the world are also can't pay you $48 million in 3 years. You got to operate differently.
Why does Nathaniel Hackett have a job right now? He has a job because of two forms of nepotism.
That's why I'm so screaming mad at. What's a guy? It's a movie. I'm mad as hell and I can't take it anymore. That's me.
Yeah, it's just reality though. But Bradley's another really experienced quarterback. I believe he started at Toledo. He's been playing college ball, I think, since like 2017 or 18. He's been around for a long time, already 24 years old. But because of that, he's a pretty refined quarterback. The thing with him is you're not going to get athleticism. He is a like strictly pocket passer. He's not somebody who's going to be able to create outside of a structure too often. He is as old school of a drop back quarterback as there is in this draft class. And I think that's fine because he has a really good arm. And I think he's a relatively polished quarterback. I said this to you right before the show. I get some Josh Rosen vibes with him, like in the same archetype. Obviously, Josh Rosen, more highly touted prospect. Didn't really work out in the NFL, but kind of cut from the same cloth as, you know, I think he's a pretty good processor. I think he has as good, if not better, of an arm than Josh Rosen, because I think Carter Bradley's got a very, very good arm. He's just the athleticism there, you know, is not there with him. And also, I don't think you really get much creativity. He's not going to extend plays outside the pocket, which I don't know what the Jets are looking for, but I think because of that Gus Bradley, Robert Saleh connection, there's a chance they take a chance on him. I think he's probably more of like fifth, sixth, seventh round. I don't think he's going to be like third or fourth round, but another guy to keep an eye on. I think he has the arm talent for the NFL, even if the athleticism is really lacking by modern standards.
To my dying day, I will never understand how it all went so wrong for Josh Rosen quickly.
Yeah.
It looked like two different guys. Like nothing he did good at UCLA translated. It was sad, to be honest. It was sad.
Yeah.
But
I love Josh Rosen. I loved him coming out of college.
Josh Rosen, that year.
Yeah, Josh Rosen forever, the whole Josh Rosen, Josh Allen situation forever changed the way that I evaluate quarterback prospects. I at that point, when Josh Allen hit and Josh Rosen busted and failed miserably, forever since that point, I've been like, well, you know, if a guy's got traits, take a chance on him. I don't give a shit. Like, I don't care. If they have traits, they could become Josh Allen. Awesome. Are they going to become Tyree Jackson? Maybe, but they have a chance to become Josh Allen. I'm taking a chance on that guy. That's why
Joe Miller changed my mind. Was, do you remember Troy Smith at Ohio State?
Yeah. Oh, you were before me that I was not watching college football.
Because Troy Smith, I remember, because I was just starting to get into the draft when I was young. I just got into it that early. And he was just destroying at Ohio State. And then I remember when the draft came around, they're like, yeah, he might get drafted, possibly. I'm like, yeah. Huh? Yep. And that was like, okay, I gotta figure this out. Something's not right here.
Yep.
That was my moment. So moving off that, we'll get into our biggest needs right now for the Jets, because one of them could have been edge rusher, but Jadeveon Clowney is no longer going to the Jets. He's going to the Carolina Panthers, a 2-year deal worth up to $24 million, which is a lot of money, especially because he signed a 1-year, $2 million prove-it deal with the Ravens last year.
Right.
And now he's back with the Panthers. So I don't think the Jets were going to go $12 million.
Real quick, that was Jordan Schultz from Bleacher Report reported that the sticking point for the Jets was they didn't want that second year. They won 1-year contract, which makes sense. I'm surprised Clowney got this much. I think he deserves it. I just, based on what his market was last year, I didn't think he would get much more than that. But hey, last year he signed for 1 year, significantly less money, or not significantly, but definitely less money. This is $10 million a year, up to potentially $12 million a year, I think. So I would have done that. I would be willing to pay that price if I was the Jets. I think I can understand why they didn't want to do the 2 years, because especially if they still have any faith in Will McDonald, signing Clowney for 2 years, I get why they don't want to do that. But it's a big loss. Like, I think Clowney would have been a huge addition.
It's just – it's tough, too, for the Jets and the Ravens specifically, because they're going to start Odafe Oweh and David Ojabo right now at their defensive end spots, which is
– and they drafted both of them.
Yeah, they drafted both of them. Ojabo never plays and always got, like, what, 10 sacks in 3 years? So not good for them, not good for the Jets. But I think does it even really need to be said that another edge rusher is one of their holes? Like, yeah. Obviously, with Bryce Huff leaving, that's going to create a hole. I know they want Will McDonald to be the starter. He's going to be the starter, and Jermaine Johnson's really good. But with how much they rotate guys, they needed one more. They didn't even need necessarily a Clowney guy. I mean, he would have been ideal just because of his history and his run defense. But they needed another guy who can come in and spell McDonald. I think maybe a kind of like a Clowney-ish run defender guy, just because McDonald, I think, is so pass rush specific. Mm-hmm. They might need to get another guy's good stuff in the run, especially because that's what they lacked last year. You know, they were a much better team defending the pass than they were defending the run. They're running out of options there. Maybe this is like a day two, third round pick that they go to. Look, there were a ton of guys like Marshawn Nealon or Brandon Dorlus who are kind of, I keep calling them John Franklin Myers, because that's the kind of guy they need. They need one more John Franklin Myers, kind of a two-way, move them around, run stuffer guy. Free agency market's drying up, obviously, and Clowney would have been the best one. But if I'm Joe Douglas, I at least got to get one of them before I just call time on the offseason.
Yeah, I quickly pulled up the list of free agent edge rushers, because I'm honestly not familiar with who else was out there. A couple of names that stood out. Again, I can't say I watched all these guys last year, so I need to do some research to know how good some of these guys still are. Calais Campbell, I think, is still a very good player. I'm pretty sure he was still really good. Campbell would definitely fit that like JFM role. He's more of a D tackle, I guess, at this stage, but he has the versatility to play both. Jets were interested in him last year. I wouldn't be surprised if they go after him again if he still wants to play in 2024. Yannick Ngakoue, I'm not sure what else he has left in the tank. I just looked up some of his numbers from last couple years. They're not particularly pretty. I know he had a lot of sacks in 2022, but his pressure numbers were way down. He had 12 sacks and 44 pressures. That is a ridiculous rate that clearly was not going to hold up. And he had 34 pressures last year and only 4 sacks. So that's more like it. Also missed a ridiculous amount of tackles. So I'm not sure how high I am on Ngakoue, although I believe he crossed paths with Saleh in Jacksonville. So
weren't the Jets going hard after him for a while?
They might have been. They might have been. Other guys would
go with the Raiders or something like that, because I remember for a while it was all Ngakoue to the Jets. That was a thing.
Yeah, he's bounced around a ton. There's some guys with Jets connections on the market. Of course, Carl Lawson. I don't expect him to be back, but he's still out there. Shaq Lawson, who hates the Jets, is also a former Jet. He's still out there. Henry Anderson, old friend, he's out there. There's another John Franklin Myers type. Also another John Franklin Myers type who's a former Jet. Kyle Phillips is a free agent. The options aren't great. Justin Houston, I think What did he have left in the tank with the Dolphins last year? I think he's all right. Like, obviously, you saw him.
I forgot he played last year.
Yeah.
He had half a sack in seven games.
Well,
with the Panthers.
What were some of his pressure numbers? Or was it the Panthers?
Well, I imagine not very. You've got half a sack. I can imagine you're not, like, getting Bryce Huff pressure numbers.
I didn't think he was with the Dolphins.
He was very briefly. He just didn't record any stats.
Yeah, 10 pressures. Not great. Well, on 112 pass rush snaps, that's not awful.
I think it's time for Houston to go be a family man, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, the options are not particularly great when looking at the rest of the free agent market. Bud Dupree, Jerry Hughes, like, definitely guys past their prime. Randy Gregory maybe could be an option.
Then you get off the field stuff with him.
I know, but he's, I think, stayed clean recently. But yeah, I honestly.
Bud Dupree could be okay, actually.
I'm going to throw it out there. Do you think there's any chance the Jets take an edge rusher at 10? Or if they trade down in the first round, take an edge rusher?
If they trade down and maybe they use a top fit, like they get like a second round pick, maybe that's what they do with it.
You don't think first round is even a slimmer possibility?
Unless I like Dallas Turner a lot.
Yeah.
I think he might be the best defensive player in this class.
So I mean, it's not a super high-end defensive class, so that's right.
If they want to talk themselves into, we got the best defensive player in the class at 10, that could be very easy to talk yourself into, because he is. Will McDonald was a little bit of a scheme reach. Turner is like, set him and forget him 10 sacks every year.
And he's a much better, much more polished run defender than McDonald is right now.
Exactly. Out younger, too. That might be the only guy where I could, like, if they get like Laia Tuilotu, who's got medical things too, I'm like, I don't know if that's.
Or like Jared Verse.
I used to not be, obviously the Jets don't need an edge rusher, but I'm like, man, if you need one, like, go watch the game against Florida. It's literally like just a bludgeoning. It's like an old Viking just chopping a guy's head off. It's just embarrassing for Florida. So if you watch that game, you'd be like, all right, maybe I'll take Verse.
Losing Clowney really sucks. That would have filled a huge, huge hole in that.
I always thought he was kind of unattainable, though, just because he'd be in like kind of a rotation-y role, and I feel like after that year, he might want a little more. Plus, he gets to go back home. He's from South Carolina too, so
It seemed like the Jets felt pretty good about it. It seemed like they felt pretty good about it, but obviously, that second year was the sticking point. They weren't going to give him a 2-year contract. And I don't blame them for that. It's going to be interesting to see how they address edge rusher going forward, because I don't expect Will McDonald to be playing 60% of snaps next year. I don't think that's going to happen. You have Jermaine Johnson still. You have John Franklin Myers still. Maybe they just keep JFM more on the edge. I don't know. We'll see what they do. They have D-tackle depth, I guess. They brought in Kinlaw. They brought back Thomas. The nose tackle from Arizona, which I forget how to pronounce it. Lekifotu, I believe.
George Lekifotu.
George Lekifotu, yeah. So I think that they still have plenty of pieces on that D-line, but they definitely need – they're going to add another edge rusher at some point. And maybe it opens up the possibility of doing it late in day one or day two. I think that absolutely is a possibility. Another position that we should talk about, because that's it's a lot of Clowney talk. It's unfortunate that they lost out on Clowney. Another position I want to talk about that I still think the Jets are going to target, and I keep saying this, is running back. I would be very surprised. I'd be stunned. No, I don't want to say stunned. I'd be very surprised if Izzy Abanikanda was RB2 going into next season. That's not a knock on Izzy. I don't think we saw much of him last season, and I also don't think he's really I don't think he fills the role that they need from their RB2 right now. I don't think he's nearly as good in pass protection. In fact, that's what kept him off the field for a lot of last year. He's definitely more of a change of pace breakaway guy that you're hoping can develop into more. He's bigger than a lot of like those like scat back change of pace guys, but he's not a refined running back at this point. And he's not somebody that if Brees were to go down, I would feel comfortable at all with him as your top running back. Not even close. So I think this is very, very likely, chance that the Jets sign a veteran running back, a guy like Deontay.
You know who's actually out there and could be a really good signing is he was on the Ravens last year. They got this guy, Dalvin Cook, who I know he struggled last year, but.
don't you dare, Mike. The Cowboys might sign him, which is hilarious, dude.
Why would anyone sign him? He's done.
He's cooked. He was cooked before the Jets got him, and he's definitely cooked now.
He wasn't that cooked.
He was cooked. He was cooked, goddammit. I said it for months. He was cooked. And let me take my victory lap, all right? But no, the Jets aren't going to bring back Dalvin Cook. I would have loved Deontay Foreman. Unfortunately, he signed, I forget where, actually, but I know he's gone. He signed with somebody. I would have loved him. Damian Harris was somebody else who I thought made some sense. If the medicals checked out, he just retired because likely.
Would you believe it if I said he signed with the Browns?
Deontay Foreman? Yes, I would. I remember that. Yeah. I remember him playing the Browns. As a Jerome Ford Dynasty fantasy owner, I wasn't happy about that. But
what do we actually do? I want to go to a comment from James Gilby in chat because he has a pretty good idea of Ezekiel Elliott.
This was the guy I was about to mention. I like Ezekiel Elliott as a target for the Jets. I think that he's still getting probably more hate than he deserves. I don't think he's as cooked as Dalvin was when the Jets signed him. And I also think the way that he runs and his style and his strengths are a much better fit for what the Jets need than Dalvin Cook. Current present day Ezekiel Elliott is not Ezekiel Elliott from 6 years ago. Not even close. He's not nearly as – not that he was ever the most explosive running back, but most of the explosiveness that he still had is gone. The difference is Dalvin Cook's calling card was his explosiveness. When you took away that, when you removed that explosiveness, he had nothing left to offer. He was not a good pass catcher. He had fumble issues. He was not a good pass blocker. He was definitely not somebody that was going to ever excel in short yardage situations. Ezekiel Elliott can still do that stuff. He can still fill a role that the Jets need as a good pass blocker, a solid pass catcher, a very underrated pass catcher throughout his career, and somebody who can still do well in short yardage situations. I think that's what the Jets really need. You're not signing Zeke to take away, you know, 40% of snaps from Breece Hall. You're signing him to hopefully fill that void in you know, short yardage situations in the red zone as maybe a third down pass blocking back, third and one. That's when you want Ezekiel Elliott in the game. And I'm okay with that. And also, you don't even need to take Breece Hall at the field for that. You can have both of them on the field at the same time. It's not an anti-Breece Hall thing. It's just I want a little bit more insurance behind Breece Hall. And I think Ezekiel Elliott would fill that role a lot more than somebody like Izzy Abanikanda could, who Izzy can still get a couple of snaps a game, but he's not somebody who's going to be able to do the things that Zeke can at this stage.
See, I'm an Abanikanda fan, and I just feel like with how much I want the Jets to ride Breece this year, like I mentioned this just before the show, I want him getting Larry Johnson in 2005 and 6 level of touches. Now, maybe that's not a good idea because Larry Johnson is now a legitimate psychopath, crazy person, got arrested a bunch of times, and Herm Edwards probably has something to do with that, but like the level, I want Breece Hall touching the ball 20 times every game. And I feel like if Abanikanda comes in and gets maybe 4 or 5 touches a game, I feel like as a fifth round pick in year two, I feel like that shouldn't be too tall of a task. Now, I would love Zeke coming in just because I like Zeke as a player. Thought he was pretty okay last year. I know New England had a ton of stuff going on that was not his fault that he had to go deal with.
Yeah.
But I just, with what the Jets need, because they also, I think, need a defense. We'll get into this later. I think they maybe need another safety. Feel like they could use some more depth, maybe on the offensive line, maybe one more backup. If you have a limited number of funds to spend, I would rather it go there than a backup just because the running back is kind of making a comeback a little bit with how many guys got paid this offseason, with Derrick Henry being what he is, or Christian McCaffrey being what he is. Like, running backs are kind of in vogue right now. And for a Jets team that I know they got Mike Williams, but Breece Hall is going to touch the ball more than any other player except Rodgers on that team.
Yeah.
I find it weird to take him off the field and be like, all right, let's go and give this veteran guy who's lost his burst, admittedly lost his burst,
sure,
some touches. Because I remember, because also I don't necessarily trust Hackett to come up with a good running back rotation. Because at least with Breece and Abanikanda, Breece is the one they're going to ride him. Like, but there were remember that Cowboys game when Dalvin Cook got more touches than Breece? I don't think that'll happen again. But I mean,
Breece Hall was on a snap count. That's what that was. Breece Hall was on a snap count early in the year. They're not going to do that to him next year. He is the by far obvious RB1. Like, he is the guy that they're going to the focal point of the offense. He's the guy that they're going to build the offense around. I don't think signing anybody changes that fact. I unless you sign like Derrick Henry, which, as much as I would have loved that, they were never going to pay the money to get Derrick Henry, nor should they have, because that's not the best allocation of funds. Even though selfishly, I thought he would have been an awesome fit with the Jets. I think
now the Ravens just lost all their offensive line, didn't replace him. So
they did. He's going to deal with what he dealt with last year in Tennessee. But yeah,
I think, though. That's the thing, because he's so good.
He is still good. I think, again, the difference between Zeke and Dalvin is just that Zeke, well, one, again, you're not signing Dalvin. You're not signing Zeke to fill the role that you signed Dalvin to fill last year, because Dalvin was signed as insurance for Breece Hall coming off a torn ACL. That's not the situation here. You are signing Zeke and saying you are the defined RB2. You are to spell Breece Hall in specific situations where we want you to be in there, and you're an insurance policy in case Breece goes down. Because I just look, Mike, I like Izzy Abanikana coming to college. I've seen nothing at this point that says that he should be RB2 next year. Nothing. I don't think it's wise or smart to go into next year with him as your top backup, your top insurance policy behind Breece Hall, because it's really rare for running backs to play 17 games in a season. There's a lot of running back injuries out there. Happens every single year. I do not think the Jets trust Izzy Abanikanda to be their RB2 next year. Like, they didn't trust him last year. Why would they trust him this year? And it's not even just like the talent levels. Like, it's pass blocking, it's fumble concerns, it's stuff like that, where it's just like, give me a guy who I know isn't going to have those issues. Zeke does not have pass blocking issues. He does not have fumble concerns. That's why I'd be in favor of that. I wouldn't be shocked if they go the draft route as well, but I think it just makes sense to bring a veteran in there. And I also think you can still sign Zeke to, what, a one-year, $2 million contract and still address other needs. I mean, James asks about safety position. We could talk about that because I know you did want to mention safety briefly. James on Twitter, if this is going to show up, it does. He asked, what do you guys think about a safety position? I want Ashton back. I think the Jets want Ashton back as well. The question is, does Ashton Davis come back to the Jets? I think in a perfect world, or in a perfect world for the Jets, he will be back. Ashton Davis, by all accounts right now, I believe it was reported by Zach Rosemeyer of The Athletic, is that he's looking for a starting job, a starting opportunity elsewhere. And I don't blame him. I think that he earned an increased role after what he did last season. But the Jets definitely want him back. And if the opportunity isn't there for him elsewhere, I think he will end up being back, especially with the new kickoff rule. I think it's even more important to bring back a guy like Ashton Davis, who is a standout special teams player, as well as someone like Justin Hardy, who the Jets have also not brought back to this point. I imagine it's a money thing there, but I think they should definitely prioritize bringing both of those guys back for obviously just for special teams. But Davis, sure, you need to add to your safety room, because right now you have Chuck Clark and Tony Adams, and they used a lot of three safeties last year. So Ashton Davis makes sense. I've mentioned Tashaun Gibson as a possibility for a couple months now, I think. He played in San Francisco, not under Robert Saleh, but in a similar scheme under DeMeco Ryans. And I think that even though he's like 34 years old, he makes sense as some guy you could bring in where he has a ton of experience. He could be that third safety option, kind of what you wanted Adrian Amos to be last year before Ashton Davis took his job. If they don't bring back Davis, I think someone like Gibson makes sense. They will add something there. It could be in the draft. I'd be surprised, because right now their third safety is Jarque Bernard-Converse. And I think it's a situation like Izzy where they're not going to trust him as your top backup safety going into the season. I'd be surprised.
What do you think about Julian Blackman?
He's still out there, isn't he? He's a younger
option. Out there, and if they were going to pay Clowney, probably eight-figure, because the sticking point was the Jets didn't want to do 2 years, but if the Jets are willing to give him probably eight figures for 1 year, that suggests they could probably go eight figures with Blackman too. He's still out there. He had four picks last year for the Colts.
I don't think they would go that
high. Cover three. It's not the same system, but it's similar.
I don't think they'd go that high for him. But also, if you just saw what Cameron Curl got on the open market, I have no idea what the safety market is. Like, I have no prediction, because Cameron Curl
got Xavier McKinney got like $16 million a year.
Right. And Cam Curl got what, like $5 million a year? Four and a half. Cam Curl, I don't think it's a hot take to say Cam Curl is just as good as Xavier McKinney, or at least in the same tier. How the hell did one of those guys get, like, that's insane to me. So if Cam Curl's getting that, I don't want the Jets paying Julian Blackman close to what Clowney got. I know.
Let it down the middle.
I think if they sign a safety in free agency, it'll be a $2 million contract. I don't think they're going to invest anything significant. The only, maybe Davis. Ashton Davis would probably get the most, but I don't think they sign an external guy for more than what they pay Ashton Davis.
And I think that might be all of the main needs that get locked up. They get another safety.
Definitely offensive tackle depth. Like, we could throw others out that we don't have to talk about it, but offensive tackle depth, I think they need to make another move there. Carter Warren is fine. Again, I think it's another situation where you cannot go into next year with him as your primary backup tackle. Carter Warren, I don't know. I know some Jets fans are high in his potential. He was not good last year. He allowed sacks at a higher rate than Mekhi Becton. Like, he was not good, which is to be expected for a guy who was a mid-round developmental prospect who missed most of the summer due to an injury and also was asked to play right tackle after previously playing left tackle.
And he wasn't really supposed to play anyway.
He wasn't. I'm not surprised at all he was bad. But there's nothing where you could see from Carter Warren's tape last year that makes me think, oh, yeah, he should be the backup tackle next year, like the top backup tackle. And I'm not talking a Billy Turner edition. I still want David Bakhtiari. I think that would make sense. But either way, I think they still got to add somebody there. Yeah, safety. Oh, receiver. They definitely get another receiver. I don't think Alan Lazard should be your wide receiver three. And at the very least, your three and four should not be Lazard and Xavier Gibson going into next year, especially given Mike Williams coming off torn ACL. He has the injury concerns. I don't want to be one Mike Williams injury away from having Alan Lazard and Xavier Gibson as your wide receiver two, wide receiver three again.
And with that, we bring on the return of the weekly draft spotlight. It's been a while, mostly just because we've had other pressing matters come up in terms of signings and trades. And it was better. I mean, last year we could also keep doing it because it was just, we didn't want to talk about leverage with Aaron Rodgers every single week. So that helped, but
wait,
it's
really, really quick. I feel bad because Brian, this is a good comment from Brian. But right before we get into this, he asked about James Conner. We don't have to talk about this long, but Brian in chat said, I don't particularly have a favorite among remaining free agent running backs. Would you be interested in trading for James Conner? He'd cost $4.5 million in 2024. I think James Conner was genuinely really good last year. I think he's a very underrated running back. I don't think the Jets are going to pay $4.5 million for a backup running back. I don't think Conner would want to go to the Jets because I think he's a starting running back. Like
I don't feel like the Cardinals even want to trade him.
Yeah, I also don't know if the Cardinals want to trade him. I love the player. I think James Conner is a very good player and very underrated. I just, for the Jets, it feels like a weird fit because you're paying a good amount of money for a backup running back who probably shouldn't be a backup running back. And if you got James Conner, like you want to play him probably more than 15% of snaps, like, and 20% of snaps. And I don't think I want that with Breece there, but I do love the player and I do love the idea. Maybe it is a situation where the Jets explore the trade market, or maybe, you know, further as we get into training camp, they look at some guys who are still out there, guys who end up getting cut. Maybe that's something they could do, but I do love the player and that's a good suggestion. Anyway, sorry. Go.
We got the weekly draft spotlight back. I'm going to go look at a defensive back this week. And it's a guy who is built to play for Robert Saleh. And that's Jaden Hicks of Washington State. He's been a late riser. It seems like a lock. He's going to be a day two guy at this point. I'll get the negatives out of the way first because he is slow for a safety. He's like a 4.6 guy, and his shuttle was like 16th percentile for safeties, which is not what you want. You want in short area quickness. And he can play a little too out of control sometimes. Like it's a lot of those, you know, go for the big hit instead of wrapping up kind of guys, and then they just bounce off him and then he keeps going. But he has the two things that Robert Saleh wants. He wants you to be really smart, good football IQ, and he wants you to play like your hair's on fire. And my God, does he do that? He is.
Yeah. Whoa. What happened? What was that?
If you do, all right, for those watching the YouTube stream, if you do the peace sign, apparently Apple has this thing where certain gestures come up and it makes balloons drop.
Oh, look at that. Whoa.
That's crazy. I got to turn that off because it's just derailing the stream. But
love that.
That I've turned that off, it's called gestures.
Audio listeners are super confused.
But yeah, I know. This is great audio. This is great radio. But for the YouTube guys, I don't know why that. But anyway, Hicks is, my God, does he play fast? Does he hit hard? He's built almost like one of those kind of hybrid linebackery guys like Jamie and Sherwood, Hamza Nasruldeen, that Saleh and Douglas obviously like adding. And he's great in run support. Well, maybe the best run support safety in this entire class. Big hitter, strong guy, 6'2", 215, violent, loves contact, but also like good burst. He's not like the best long speed guy, but he's got good burst. Creates turnovers, sacks guys. Like in a weak safety class, because I don't think there's going to be a first-round safety taken. I mean, Tyler Newbin from Minnesota might be the only one who's got a shot, and even then I think he might go like early second. Newbin might be like the second or third safety off the board. So the Jets can fill their safety hole and get a guy who fits in schematically with what they want to do. And you know what? Maybe, just maybe, they could do some Deion Buchanan stuff. Maybe they convert him to linebacker full time. It's a very versatile piece for a third round guy.
Yeah, admittedly, I'm not too familiar with him, honestly, but I definitely sounds like somebody that they would probably convert to linebacker full time. Seems like he has the same physical archetype as a guy like Hamza Nasruldeen or Jamie Sherwood, or even like a Marcel Harris. Remember Marcel Harris? Saleh loves those safety to linebacker converts, and I think that's somebody they can definitely consider. I think their linebacker.
I just keep calling them all day. Deion Buchanan was not an amazing player, but like that's just
Isaiah Simmons now. Isaiah Simmons is like the more recent example of that.
Mark Barron, if you remember Mark Barron.
Mark Barron, yeah, with Tampa, yeah. I think Simmons is like the most recent example of that. Oh, but he's also just such a physical freak, Isaiah Simmons. But yeah, I think it makes sense because Saleh loves guys like that, and I think he is a Robert Saleh fit. Whether they end up going that route or not, I'm not sure that would really address safety as much as it would linebacker, but a chess piece for Robert Saleh's defense is never a bad thing. The guy that I'm taking a look at this week, and I know we just talked a lot about running backs, I'm going to be talking about a running back here, because what if the Jets don't sign anybody? What if they don't sign Ezekiel Elliott? What if they don't sign Kareem Hunt or whoever's out there, right? And they go into the draft. I think somebody that makes a ton of sense that fits the exact archetype that they should be looking for is Audric Estime from Notre Dame. Now, immediately,
Gold some Domer. People,
yeah, what'd you say?
Gold Domer, Notre Dame.
Yeah, yes. Is he related to, remember Brizzly Estime? Does that name ring a bell to you?
No.
Okay. All right. You don't have to get so Brizzly Estime like was a Syracuse receiver who had a cup of coffee with the Jets. I don't know why I just thought of that.
How am I possibly supposed to internalize that?
I don't know, man. You know a lot about football players. I don't know if that name, if you remembered that name. Okay. I stopped. I got you. I don't know if people like that. Estime. Please. Sure. Either way, Audric Estime, I think, makes a ton of sense for the Jets. Immediately, people have an impression of him because he did not have a great combine. He had a 40-yard dash of, I believe it was 4.71 40-yard dash, which is quite bad. Very bad, one might say, for a running back. However, measured in a lot or recorded a lot better time in his pro day, which not a surprise. Usually the pro day times are better, but I believe it was like 4.58. Significantly better 40 time at his pro day. And I also getting the sense, like watching him, I never got the sense that he was too slow for the NFL. He's never going to be a breakaway speed guy, but that's not his calling card. That doesn't need to be his thing. I never got the sense that he was just too slow. Honestly, kind of reminds me a bit of like a David Montgomery or like a Jamal Williams or even like a little bit slower Jonathan Stewart. Like those are the vibes that I get when I watch him. Specifically Montgomery, I think is a really good comp for me. Really just a powerful, powerful running back, strong lower body, strong legs, 5'11", 221. Also, I believe he's a local guy too. He grew up in He was born in Nyack, New York, which is like Westchester, Rockland County area. But he went to school in Montvale, New Jersey. So that's like 30 minutes or so from East Rutherford. That's right there in northern New Jersey.
Carter Warren was a local guy too, and you hate him. So
I don't hate Carter. Hold on a second. It's funny because so is Izzy Abanikanda, and I've talked shit about both.
Oh, yeah,
of them.
You're right. He's from Brooklyn, yeah.
But I don't hate Carter Warren or Izzy Abanikanda. I just don't think they should be counted on as the top backups at their position just yet. Continue to develop them. Maybe they become contributors. Maybe they don't. But look, would you have, after LaMichael Perine's rookie season, would you have been happy with LaMichael Perine as RB2 going into his second year? No, and you shouldn't have been, right? That's not saying Izzy Abanikanda is going to be LaMichael Perine, but we don't know what he's going to be. Anyway, back to Audric Estime, highly productive two-year starter or contributor, whatever you want to call it, rushed for over 1,300 yards last year, 18 touchdowns, 6.4 yards per carry. I think he's one of the best contact balance runners in this class. Never going to go down on first contact, always running through arm tackles. Honestly, some of his like highlight reel runs at Notre Dame, they're like Marshawn Lynch-esque. Like I'm dead serious when I say that. Dude is a tank. He is a beast. The biggest knock against him, of course, is his speed. That 4.71 40-yard dash at the combine is something that teams are going to look at. But I think he definitely ran a lot better at his pro day. And I didn't get 4.71 speed like watching him on tape. I think he has better speed especially better long speed. Like I think it takes him a little bit to get into that high gear, but once he's there, I think he has better speed than that number would indicate. Also some comparable 40s, David Montgomery, you know, I mentioned David Montgomery, he ran a 4.63 40 at the combine.
Montgomery had a little bit more like wiggle to him though. Like Estime's not sure. Slow. North and South, he's fast. It's just going sideways is the problem.
I agree. And I don't know if Audric Estime is going to be David Montgomery, but I could see shades of that. I could see shades of Jamal Williams, who ran a 4.59, downhill, decisive runner. And honestly, with the Jets kind of shifting to more likely, more of a power run scheme with Morgan Moses coming in, with Tyron Smith, with John Simpson, I think he's a much better fit in that scheme than he would be in like a zone-based scheme, because you want a guy that can just run north-south, downhill, decisive runner who can hit the hole. And I think that's what Audric has to make it do. I think he really fits well in a power scheme. To me, he is what the Jets should be looking for in an RB2. Also, I think he's an underrated pass catcher. They didn't really throw to him a lot in Notre Dame, but I don't believe he had a single drop in his college career. Again, they didn't throw the ball a lot to him, but also a solid pass catcher.
There's a reason they didn't throw the ball a lot to him.
He was productive when they did. I just think it's something that they didn't know he could do. Or look at Justin Herbert at Oregon and say like, oh, remember that was the whole knock at him. Like, oh, there's a reason they didn't have him do all this stuff. Well, maybe the coaching staff just didn't evaluate their player correctly.
Well, I guess the thing though too is Notre Dame did throw to their back. Like Chris Tyree is like one of the best pass catching backs in the leagues in the country. So.
Right, and maybe that's why they weren't throwing to Estime as much. They didn't think he could do it. But clearly he's never had an issue doing it. And I think that's an underrated part of his game because I never – in any of the stuff that I watched, he never had an issue pass catching. And I believe he never had a single drop during his time at Notre Dame. Also a fine pass blocker. I think Estime is a really good target on like the early day three, maybe like the fourth round. I know that people will be turned off by the 40 time, but I think that – he plays faster than that 40 time, and he is exactly the type of archetype the Jets should be looking for. I don't even want to give him like an AJ Dillon comparison because I think he's a better – I don't know if he's a better athlete than Dillon, but I think he has a higher upside than AJ Dillon, who's really just – he's a guy who's going to get you 3 yards a carry every single time, whether it's a third and one or whether it's first and 10, he's going to get you 3 yards a carry. I think Estime could do more than that.
Well, I'm not scared about the – I'm scared about the fumbles is what I'm scared about. He had a lot of them and in big games.
Sure. Yep,
and I feel like if Notre Dame had a professional run, like I feel like they would have thrown the ball to him more than 26 times in 2 years if he had that level of receiving talent.
He had like 17 catches last year or something like that.
And he had 9 the year before that. Where he was the year before that, he was pretty much only a short yardage guy. So he pretty much only had like the 1 year as like a high-end starter.
Well, he split carries that first year with was it Logan Diggs? Was that his name? The guy who went to LSU?
Maybe. You know who he reminds me of? Josh Adams. Another Notre Dame guy. Okay. Josh Adams is bigger. Josh Adams is like 6'2", but
I think Adams might be a little fat. Like, what was Adams' 40 time? I feel like he was faster. Am I misremembering that?
Possibly. I don't know.
He was 4.51. So, I mean, if you go by combine, that's a whole 0.2 seconds faster.
Wow, you must have really not learned the playbook or something. How are you that big and that fast? And you didn't.
I liked Josh Adams. This is like, he's like another Ty Johnson for me where I'm like, this dude never got a fair shake.
I had like a fourth round grade on him when he came out. This guy's pretty good.
I was surprised that after he had that stint with the Jets and even with the Eagles, like he was good every time he got the opportunity. You just never, some running backs, it's weird. They just never get a chance. So I think Josh Adams is a good player, but I don't think that's a terrible comp. I like Josh Adams and I like Audrick Estime.
And with that, I think it's time to call time on this episode of the Jet Press Podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, you know the podcast platforms, you know the YouTube at the Jet Press. That's where you can subscribe and like our streams and check out the whole back catalog and all of our ridiculous takes from last year. They are all there. Justin, sign us off.
Got four weeks until the draft. It is coming up in a month. It is almost here. We're probably gonna do some kind of special thing for the draft. Obviously we always stream on Wednesdays, so we'll do some kind of like big draft special the day before. I believe we did that last year as well. But until then and until next time, thank you all for joining us on the show today. You can follow Mike on Twitter at by Mike Luciano. Follow me on Twitter at Justin T. Freed. Follow the Jet Press at the Jet Press. Download Jet Press Podcast wherever you get your podcast. Check us out on YouTube and TikTok. Subscribe, like, hit that notification bell. You guys know what to do, dude. I'm getting so good at that. I am blazing through that every time now.
Hey, repetition, man. I'm riding a bike.
What it is. We stream live every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you all for listening to Jet Press Podcast. I've been Justin Freed. That has been Mike Luciano. We'll see you guys next time.
See you folks next week.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.